Today's scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us every day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, and you will find, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Good morning. Welcome to Lower Manhattan Community Church. My name is Jacob. I'm one of the pastors here. As Ryan mentioned, we're in week 4 now of an ongoing series called Mere Christianity. And today's also a special day. It's my wife's birthday, who's right here. Yeah. Day to you. Just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble for that. Well, happy birthday, Tomi, 31 years young. And for those of you who don't know, we're also expecting our second child in October. So it's a nice day for us. Happy birthday, Tomi. I love you. I wasn't sure what to do. You were out of the room. I thought maybe we'd have to all scream when you came in or something, but you're here now. We're in week 4 of a series called Mere Christianity, and today we're talking about the topic of prayer. And prayer has been in the news lately. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but just earlier this month, the Supreme Court actually ruled on a case for a town in upstate New York called Greece, and the town council was starting their meetings with a prayer to Jesus Christ. And a decision came down 5-4 in favor of prayer in the council meeting. And I don't know where you stand on that. Maybe some people are really happy about that. Maybe some people think there should be a separation of church and state. But as far as I can tell, just about everybody prays. Some of us don't want to admit it, but just about everyone prays. Even if you consider yourself an agnostic, an atheist, non-religious, almost all of us pray at certain times. We pray when we're in periods of total desperation, when it seems like our life is falling apart and we see no way out. We say, "Please help me." We pray when we're faced with situations where we're overwhelmed with gratitude. We just feel like saying thank you, not to anyone in particular, but just saying it. And then there's times of extreme beauty, transcendent beauty, when we can't help but say, "My God." I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's this video that went viral a couple of years ago called The Double Rainbow. And now has about 40 million views on it. And I watched it again last night, and first of all, it's hilarious. So if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. But the reaction of this man captures this innate desire we all have to pray. I don't think I'm pretty sure he's not a Christian. I don't think he's religious at all. But he's looking out on this valley with a double rainbow, a full rainbow. And in a 3-minute video, about 40 times, he says, "My God, my God." overwhelmed with beauty, and prayer is our natural response. So whether it's desperation or extreme beauty, something inside of us wants to call out to the universe. Even if we don't label it God, there's this desire to call out to something greater. And that's really what prayer is. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And really, we're going to make a little bit of a shift from what some of the previous weeks have been. Some of the messages in this series have been a little bit more intellectual, kind of building an argument that would suggest the existence of God or Jesus Christ or the resurrection. And today is not so much intellectual as it is experiential. And I read this quote from a Russian mystic, 18th century mystic, Theopan the Recluse. He says, "To pray is to descend with the mind into the heart, and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever-present, all-seeing within you." And that's kind of my hope for today, that we'll move from the mind to our hearts through prayer. And I really can't craft an intellectual argument that will convince you of the merits of prayer, but I hope what I say today will help you to resonate with what prayer is and motivate you to want to try it in your own life. So there's three sections to today's message. Number one, the privilege of prayer. Number two, the power of prayer. And number three, the practice of prayer. So before we look at those three sections, let's pray. God, teach us what it means to pray. We want to understand you better. We want to talk to you. We want to have a relationship. And I'm trusting that you're going to say something to each of us today about that, God. Not just new information, but also a motivation to try this, to engage in it and see what happens. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first of all, the privilege of prayer. We get to communicate with God. We get to. And that's really all prayer is. Prayer is communication. It's a dialogue. It's a relationship. And we're allowed to do that. The God of the universe, the God who spoke physical matter into being, talks to us. That's a privilege, right? It's a privilege to be able to pray. And isn't it great having a conversation with someone who knows you well? Now, like for me, it's mostly my wife. Like maybe on a Saturday, we'll go out to brunch, we'll sit outside, have Eggs Benedict, and just talk about life. We talk about our dreams, our aspirations, our goals, what we're feeling, what's going on. If it's not my wife, it's my brother. We go to the Russian bath, and true story, and when you're sitting in a sauna for 3 hours, like, you just start talking about serious stuff. Randy, you want to go. I know you want to go. But there's something special about a conversation with someone who knows you. It's more meaningful, it's more intimate than a conversation with a stranger. But imagine if you could have a conversation with someone who knows you better than anyone else. Someone who knows you even better than you know yourself. That's what prayer is. We get to talk to the God who knit us together in our mother's womb. We get to talk to the God who has seen our unformed bodies. A God who knows our comings and our goings, who knows when we lie down and when we get up. A God who knows all our secrets and all our quirks. Even before a word is on our lips, God knew it. This is what it means to come to God in prayer. And God is not aloof. He's not far off and distant. We have the privilege of connecting intimately with God through prayer. Matthew 6:6 says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." And that's what prayer is. We go into our room, just us and God, nobody else, just the two of us in our room having a conversation. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And that's what prayer is, inviting Christ in for communion, sitting down together over a meal and talking, this intimate relationship, conversing with a dear friend who knows you better than anyone else. One of my spiritual mentors, Henry Nouwen, writes this: "In contemplative prayer, Christ cannot remain a stranger who lived long ago in a foreign world. Rather, he becomes a living presence with whom we enter into dialogue here and now. Intimate relationship. Jesus becomes alive through prayer. I think some of us have misconceptions about what prayer is. Maybe we feel like it's actually a burden. We think, oh man, one more thing that I have to do. One more religious obligation to add to a list. But prayer is not a burden, and prayer was never intended to be a burden. If anything, prayer should bring us a sense of freedom. It should bring us lightness. Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There should not be a sense of burden when we pray. I don't know if you guys saw this, but a few days ago I put up on my Facebook page, it says, what does prayer mean to you? And this idea of releasing from burdens was one of the themes that a lot of people said. One person said, "In prayer is a place of rest to lay down my burdens." Another person said, "It's a powerful release of burdens." One of my friends said, "Prayer is where I go for comfort, assurance, guidance, forgiveness. It's where the Lord of the universe holds me and guides me and helps me to understand my little portion of His creation." Prayer is not intended to be a burden for us. It's not one more thing that we have to do. It's a gift that brings us freedom. It brings us lightness. Andrew Murray, the 17th century South African pastor and author, he said, "The power of prayer depends almost entirely upon our apprehension of who it is with whom we speak." Who it is with whom we speak. We speak to a God who's both transcendent and immanent. We speak to a God who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, but is also intimately present with us here right now. Powerful, mighty, mysterious, but also a loving Father who desires to communicate with us and to commune with us right now. That's the God to whom we have the privilege of praying. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is also powerful. I want us to look right now at the reading for today. If you have your program, it's on the reverse side of that. The power of prayer. We're going to start kind of two-thirds of the way down in the reading. And what Jesus says here is really fascinating. And honestly, I think he was trying to be a little bit comical even, because Jesus, the master teacher, is messing with us, right? He's messing with the people he's talking to. And he tells this story of a neighbor. He goes and knocks on the next door neighbor's door, says, "A friend arrived at my house, and I don't have any food for them. And it's midnight. It's late at night." He's pounding the door saying, "Please give me 3 loaves of bread." And the neighbor says, "It's already late. The door is locked. My family's asleep. I can't do anything for you." And what Jesus says in this story is that it's not because of friendship. It's not because the neighbor cares so much about you. It's because of the shameless audacity that the person has to pound on the door at midnight that the neighbor consents. He opens the door and gives him whatever he needs. And why do I say Jesus is being comical here? Who else could the neighbor be except God? He's saying that God is kind of like a neighbor who doesn't necessarily want to open the door, but because of the shameless audacity of coming to him and knocking in the middle of the night, he still opens the door and gives us exactly what we need. Prayer does something. Prayer has an effect. If we keep reading the passage, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open." Prayer is a powerful thing, and God literally intervenes in human history. When we pray, things happen. And sometimes when we pray, really dramatic things happen. Sometimes small, sometimes dramatic. I was thinking about this as I wrote the sermon, and just thinking about my community group over the past year, there's been a lot of things that we've prayed about, and things have happened. We've prayed that people would get a job, and then they would get a job. We would pray for a couple who was trying to have a kid and couldn't conceive, and the couple became pregnant. We were praying for people who were having discord in their relationships, and reconciliation happened. We prayed for a person who felt a weight on her chest that wouldn't go away, and through prayer, it disappeared. Things really happen when you pray. I don't know what else to say. At least in my life, when I pray, life just seems to work better. It's like there's more coincidences in my life. I have more peace. I'm more content. In the words of the alchemist, it's like the universe is conspiring in my favor. And I can't prove that to you, right? I don't have any empirical evidence that prayer changes the outcome of things. But in my own life, life just works better when I pray. I would even suggest that prayer works 100% of the time. I mean, except when it doesn't work, but even then it does work. And confusing, I know. Let me clarify what I mean by that. If we keep reading in our passage in Luke 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So what is Jesus' promise here? What is he saying? He doesn't actually say they're going to get anything that they ask for. He doesn't say you're going to get stuff. He doesn't even say that like a healing is going to happen or anything like that. He says, how much more is the Father going to give the Holy Spirit? So why do I say prayer works 100% of the time? Because 100% of the time, God sends the Spirit to be with us. God's presence is with us in the act of prayer. Maybe we won't get exactly what we want, but prayer does work because there's a promise that God's Holy Spirit will be with us through the act of prayer. And I do want to make a little caveat here, because I think this is kind of a big question. What about when prayer doesn't work? What about when your prayer is not answered? And I'm not going to be able to fully do justice to this because it would take a whole sermon, but I do want to briefly comment on it, because I would bet almost everyone in this room has had something very specific that they've prayed for and it didn't happen. I know in my life a few things that have happened. My grandfather several years ago had a stroke, and everyone was praying for him. Our whole family was praying for him to recover, and he didn't. He passed away. When Abigail was born, we really did not want to have a C-section. And I remember kneeling next to Tomi on the bed, and I had my hand on her, just praying, please, God, let us not have to do this. And we still had to. We still did it. And those are kind of like easy examples, right? Like, my grandfather was 85 years old. He lived a good life. So, I mean, death is inevitable. And now we have a beautiful daughter who's healthy and happy. So what's the big deal with a C-section? But that's not always the case, right? Sometimes the prayers that we want to happen are devastating and really don't make any sense. One of my dear friends who went to seminary with me and now lives a few blocks from me, he was praying 3 years ago for his wife. They've been married for less than a year. She was 27 years old and diagnosed with a rare form of heart cancer. And they prayed and prayed and prayed, had their church praying for them, everyone, and 6 months later she died. 27 years old, married for less than a year, and she died. And what do we do with that? Why did we pray and not get any kind of answer? Or maybe more accurately, why did we pray and the answer was no? And I think when this happens, we're faced with two choices. Number one, we could say, I can't accept this. I can't believe in God if a God allows that to happen. That's a viable option for people to believe. The other option would be to say, God, I'm mad at you. I don't understand this. I'm not going to know during this life, but somehow I'm still able to trust you. Somehow I still believe that you're a good and loving God, even though I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know if that's a satisfying answer. I don't know if that brings any consolation, but sometimes the answer is no, and we're not going to find out why. God does still promise to send His Spirit, though, and the Spirit brings at least some consolation and some healing. I know for me personally, not having to do with tragedy, but for me when I pray, some of the most meaningful experiences have been just sitting silently in the presence of God. Feeling, sensing, believing that God is with me, that God loves me, that I'm His son. God didn't give anything to me, and I didn't even ask for anything. I was just content to rest in the power of His presence. And God really does answer prayers. He does things outside of natural explanations, and there's power in the assurance that God is with us. The reality of His presence, it brings us peace. And that's what the book of Philippians says in chapter 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I mean, wouldn't that be great to have peace? Wouldn't it be great to not be anxious about anything? Wouldn't it be great to be able to have thanksgiving in our hearts? Well, when we pray and the Holy Spirit comes in power, we have a peace that transcends understanding in Jesus Christ, that guards our heart and our mind. Prayer is a powerful thing. So number one, the privilege of prayer. Number two, the power of prayer. And then number three, the practice of prayer. How do I actually do this? Some of us want to pray, but we're not really sure where to start or how to do it. So how about start small? "Hi, God, it's me, Jacob. How are you doing?" Usually the answer is good, generally speaking. I mean, that's start somewhere. Fortunately for us, we don't have to just say, "Hi, God." We have some guidelines. Our reading for today in Luke chapter 11, the disciples say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." They had the same question. They didn't know how to do it, so they said, "Jesus, teach us." And we have it written in the Gospel of Luke. So what does Jesus say? He says, "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." It's a pretty simple, straightforward prayer. And you don't have to memorize it and repeat it verbatim. You can put it in your own words. Maybe spend some time reflecting on it, thinking about it. This might seem silly, but if you're not sure what it means, just Google it. Google the Lord's Prayer. There's going to be commentaries or other versions of it that will help you to understand what the Lord's Prayer means. This was a template that Jesus gave us to pray. If we don't know where to start, follow the template that Jesus had. I wrote my own little version of this that I just spent like 3 minutes on. But this is an example of putting it in your own words. "Dad, I pray that your name would be honored. I pray that your will would be done in my life. I pray that you would meet all my basic needs, and I would know that it is you who gave them to me. I need your forgiveness. Help me to forgive those who sin against me. Keep me from doing anything stupid. Amen." I mean, pretty simple, right? I think all of us could create a prayer like this. But this is the template that Jesus gave for us. If we don't know where to start, why not use the template that He gave us? Another idea is to pray the Psalms. For all intents and purposes, Psalms is just a book of prayers. I have a few that I like to turn to that I'll read some of them to you right now. Psalm 51, if you want to pray about forgiveness. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." There's more, but I mean, you can read on your own. A psalm of comfort, praying for comfort, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." You can even pray prayers of frustration. "God, why are You ignoring me?" Psalm 13. "How long, Lord, will You forget me? Will You forget me forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foe will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in Your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in Your salvation." You could honestly open to the book of Psalms and pick any one of them. Just randomly pick a psalm and let that be your prayer for the day. And you'll start to develop some favorites, a few that you want to go back to over and over again. And maybe you think, like, isn't this kind of cheating? Like, does it really count if I take someone else's prayer? Like, if I just read the Lord's Prayer, if I just read a psalm, does it count? I feel like I'm cheating. You're not cheating. Not at all. What you're doing is developing a vocabulary for prayer. Have you ever heard someone pray and you're kind of intimidated by them? You're like, wow, that person knows how to pray. I can basically guarantee to you that if you just pray the Psalms, you're going to put that guy to shame, right? I mean, God has given us some guidelines to go by. If we want to develop a language for prayer, let's start with what we see in Scripture. And to me, I think it's kind of like sending a Hallmark card. You know, a Hallmark card is already written for you. It expresses the intent of your heart. But eventually, you're going to start writing your own poetry. Right? For now, you can give someone a card and it's meaningful, but as you develop your own language, as you steep yourself in it, you're going to be able to write your own poems. And eventually, you'll be writing your own love letters to God in prayer. So if we're not sure what to pray, let's start with what we see in Scripture, the Lord's Prayer, praying through the Psalms. But talking to God is only half of a dialogue, right? If we're talking about a real conversation, a real relationship, there also needs to be an element of listening. Richard Foster, a modern-day spiritual writer, he says, "Jesus Christ is alive and here to teach His people about Himself. His voice is not hard to hear. His vocabulary is not difficult to understand, but learning to listen well and hear correctly is no small task." Or the French writer Jean-Nicolas Gros said, "O divine master, teach me this mute language which says so many things." Part of prayer is learning how to listen. So what do you do? How do you do that? Well, first of all, just sit in silence. It's hard for two people to talk at the same time. If you want God to talk, if you want to be able to listen, well, you need to start by shutting up. Sit in silence. Then center yourself on God. Try to remove all the distractions from your mind. Maybe have a very simple prayer that helps you to be centered. Maybe just say the name of Jesus or ask God to give you clarity of mind. Center yourself on God and ask God to speak to you. "God, I'm here. I'm here in Your presence. I want to hear Your voice." And then if a thought comes to your mind, if you're sensing anything, follow the trail before you cast doubt on it. And then that's why a lot of us have a hard time hearing the voice of God. As soon as we think we're hearing something, we immediately stop and make evaluation on it. Ooh, can I trust this or not? Is this God or is this me? And we don't even allow the thought to take root. Because we're so anxious to decide if it's real or not, doubt is cast on it before it has a chance to run its course. If you start to get a thought in your mind, follow the trail. Let it play out. Because God's going to bring clarity. If it's not God's voice, if it's not God's will, He's going to start to make that clear to you. If it is God's will, if it is God speaking to you, that will become clear to you also. And then we also have some fail-safes, right? We can make sure that what we hear doesn't contradict what we see in Scripture. We can talk to our friends or our pastor and make sure that this is grounded in who we know God to be. But I'll tell you that the prerequisite to hearing God is to create the space. We're not going to hear God's voice if all we're doing is talking, or if we're not even creating the opportunity for it to happen. Just be silent. Give God your undivided attention. And eventually we'll start to hear and recognize His voice. God wants prayer to be a conversation. He doesn't want us just to talk to Him and Him be the silent, silent partner. Be patient, and eventually we'll start to recognize God's voice. And this can all feel kind of overwhelming. Not just the idea of listening, but all of this. It can feel overwhelming. I'm not familiar with prayer. I've never done this before. I feel overwhelmed right now about how to start. Well, start small. Start with just 5 minutes a day. If you're not sure what to say, pray the Lord's Prayer. Write your own variation of it. Pick a different psalm each day and start small, 5 minutes, and you can build from there. The Bible says that our goal should be to pray without ceasing. And honestly, that takes a lifetime. None of us are going to get there overnight. None of us are there right now. It's something to aspire to. But before you dive in headlong, just dip your toe in the water. God is okay with that. God's patient. But engage in the practice of prayer. The learning is in the doing, and the privilege and the power of prayer are affirmed in the practice. There's really only so much I can say to you about prayer. Eventually, you're just going to have to try it for yourself. And really, what is the risk? What are you risking by trying this thing called prayer? The worst case scenario is there is no God, and you're talking to yourself, and maybe you feel a little bit silly, but nobody knows it except you. That's the worst thing that could happen. The best thing that can happen is you try it, and you're entering a dialogue with the God of the universe. God hears your prayers. His voice is speaking to you, calling you by name, saying, I'm here for you, I love you, you're my son and my daughter, and we're in this together. His presence and His power become real and touch our hearts deeply. To me, it seems worth the risk. Let's pray. God, we really do believe it's a privilege to be able to call out to you. It's a privilege that we can have a conversation and have a real relationship. God, we know that prayer isn't just something for us to study from afar. It's not head knowledge. It's opening our hearts to you and desiring to commune with you. And God, I pray that we would risk it, that we would give it a shot, that we would dare to enter into this. God, I pray that we would speak to you honestly, that we would talk to you as if you're a loving Father who wants us to come to you. I pray also that we would create silence in our lives to hear you, that we would recognize your voice, that we would feel your presence, God, that like you say in Luke 11, that your Holy Spirit would be with us. God, we want to enjoy prayer. We don't want it to be a burden. And we're willing to risk it, God. We want to try this. And I pray that the little effort that we offer, even just dipping our toe in the water, that you would honor that and do something amazing through it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.